feel this morning?
Good.
Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. How great to be praised, amen. Hallelujah. I am thankful for this opportunity to be down here, and certainly I'm blessed that part of my church family has come down here with us this morning to share with you all as we have this joint service. I didn't tell Kevin it was happening. Praise the Lord, and I didn't tell him or Becky, and so I just wanted to be kind of a surprise. I told Mama B, praise God, over there, and I said, hey, we're coming, and so she always sends me a nice little message right before I get down here, a couple of days before coming, and she always sends me a looking forward to seeing you. So that's Mama B, you all. If y'all ever hear me talk about Mama B, I'm going to raise my hand. Amen. Yeah, so she always sends me a nice little message. Looking forward to seeing you, son. I said, okay, praise God. I'm looking forward to being here. But with that being the case, y'all, truly I am. God is so good. His mercy endures forever. His grace is towards each and every one of us. If we have not recognized that by now, then look at where you are from where you once were and where God has brought you out of, and you'll know that God's love is upon your life. Amen? And so we thank God for his goodness. And we thank him for his mercy. Amen. Let me start moving this up a little bit. Praise God. There we go. I'm just a little tall, not too much taller. And so with that, let me thank Kevin and Becky for giving me this opportunity to be down here with you all again. I was supposed to be down here next month as well, but we had to change those plans. We were going to come down as a church next month. But there are some things happening at our church that some of our ministers, including my wife, will be out of town, I think it is. And so we had to cancel that one coming up. But you all know I love being down here. I do. I truly enjoy being down here in the wilderness. My family, my father's from here. For some of y'all who do know and don't know, my father's from Spotsylvania County. Our land is actually probably about 2 miles away from here, just going south of the entrance of the wilderness. And so with that being the case, I have roots here. And with that, and so I love it. I truly do enjoy being down here. I'm not going to keep you all long this morning. Praise God. Let me just do this. There are some people with us on Facebook Live, you all. A number of people who are joining in, from church members to friends and followers and all those. So I just want to say everybody, hello to everyone who's on Facebook Live. God bless you for joining us this morning as we are fellowshipping as one down here at the Wilderness Presidential Campgrounds. We're going to be in Luke chapter 6. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles with you, and if you don't have a Bible, you look at someone else's Bible. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 6 this morning, 46 through 49 is where I'm going to pull my message this morning from. And we're going to have a few minutes with the Lord. I won't keep you all long, but I do want to share a word with you all with the Lord, if that's all right. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Timothy, my wife is telling me, she's squawking at me, she's telling me to pick up the mic. Praise God. Talking to you, Timothy. She's over here, Timothy. She's over here, Timothy. She's telling me to pick up the mic, man. So, no different than what Becky did to Kevin, my wife's doing to me. How about that? Timothy said, when you're doing wrong, the Lord is telling you that your wife is squawking at you. I love Timothy. He is something else. Praise God. In Luke chapter 46, Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49, it reads, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the streams beat vehemently. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Amen. Earlier this week, I started on my Bible study lesson on Wednesday evening. I also did a class in the jail with some women who are incarcerated, and we began to talk about dysfunctional freedom. That's what we were talking about. We were talking about dysfunctional freedom, and when I looked at dysfunctional freedom as it related to their lives, those who are physically incarcerated, and why they find themselves consistently in this vicious cycle of coming in and out of the facility, the Lord began to deal with me about dysfunctional Christianity. Praise God. And they're really one and the same when you look at dysfunctional freedom, because we're supposed to be free in Christ. Amen. When Christ died for us on the cross, when he died for us on the cross, he died that we might be set free from the very things that hold us in bondage, or the very things that ail us, or the very things that are chains holding us back. In fact, Kevin just sang the song that he is a what? Chain breaker. And so we don't say these things, and the songs are not written this way, and the word of God does not come to us just as something to be cool, or something cool to say. Something that just sounds good or make you feel good. But in truth of it all, it is who Christ Jesus is. Amen. He is a what? Chain breaker. And so when you look at Christ and how his life is as it relates to you and I should be walking in freedom. We should be free spiritually. Amen. And we should be free morally. We should be free physically. Amen. But there's a part of some of us that is really dysfunctional. When you look at the word dysfunctional, it means to operate, behave, or conduct yourself outside of the norm. Amen. Praise God. And so as I was teaching to the young ladies in the jail, I was saying to them, well, it's amazing to me how so many people go out of the facility and not learn from their ways and find themselves back in the facility because they're acting outside, or they're behaving, or they're conducting themselves outside of the norm. They don't know how to act out there. They don't know how to conduct themselves out there. They don't know how to behave themselves. And as a result of that, they find themselves going back and forth inside the facility. But it's no different for you and I, as we have given our lives to Christ Jesus, amen, and we've accepted him as our Lord over our lives, and we told God, if you do this for me, I'll do that, Lord. And as a result of it, many of us have broken our promises to Christ, amen? Amen. How many of y'all have been in that situation where you felt like that you were sinking, you were underwater, you couldn't get free of what you were going through, you bowed down before the Lord, you may even laid yourself out prostrate and said, Lord, if you would set me free, I promise I would never go back to that thing again. And no sooner than God brought you out, you found yourself doing what? Going right back in. Mm-hmm. Lord, I won't argue with my wife anymore. 5 minutes later, you're arguing. Lord, I won't say this to my husband anymore. And 5 minutes later, you're smacking him upside the head. Promises that we make to God, we can't keep. And so the Lord says here in 46, he says, but why do you call me? He's teaching right now. And let me do this part before I go any further. This part of the teaching is called the Sermon on the Mount. Praise God. Theologically, that's what they call it, the Sermon on the Mount. And it really is a collection of teachings of Christ Jesus on morality. It's actually the centerpiece of Christian living that Christ is giving here in Luke as well as over in Matthew about how we ought to conduct ourselves as children of God. And so he gets to this point and he poses this question and he says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things in which I say. Matter of fact, let me put it to you a little bit more plainly. How many of you all have children here? Amen. And in your rearing of your children, you say, son or daughter, I need you to take out the trash, wash the dishes, vacuum for whoever still have carpet, vacuum the carpet. Might need you to clean the windows or wash the clothes. May need you to make up your beds and clean up your room. Just a may need something to happen in the home. Amen. And you tell them that, and then you turn around 10 minutes later and you still find them in the same position. Amen. That they were in when you first gave them inclination that you want something done differently in the house. And then you walk back past again and you say, son, daughter, I need you to wash the dishes, take out the trash, cut the grass, need you to make up your bed, clean up your room, fix up the bathroom, do something in the house, son or daughter, I need you to do this for me today. And you walk away and you come back an hour or two later and they're still in the same condition they were in. Same spot that you left them in, and now you're scratching your head and you're trying to figure out how to get this condition to what? Change. Because in your mind, you know, and I don't know about you all, but for me, I'll say what my mom and my dad used to tell me, I did not raise you this way. That the minute that I talk to you about what it is that I need done, I'm expecting at some point in your 24 hours of a day that you're going to move within reason to do the things I've told you what? To do. But for some reason, you're not acting normal. You're abnormal, praise God. You're in a dysfunctional state. You're outside of the norm of what our relationship is. I'm the parent, you're the what? Child. And when I say what?
Go.
But for some reason, you ain't what?
Go.
Dysfunctional, basically Christianity, dysfunctional family life, dysfunctional whatever. And we all suffer from that because we get mad. Now, I gotta tell you, we get mad at the children for doing what our parents told us to do and we did not what?
Do it.
Amen.
But because of grace and mercy which was shed on us, we have grace and mercy on them because Christ has grace and mercy on us because he knows that we're in this body that just can't seem to get what?
Right.
But there's still a reasonable expectation that God has of every last one of us to act within the norms of what?
Christianity.
All of us have some things about us that we don't like about our what?
Selves.
That all of us have some things that we want changed in our life. All of us are doing some things that are outside of God's will. And God wants a change to come from us. And he don't want it at your level of comfort, at your convenience. God wants us to change when?
Now.
Because that's what he died for. Christ didn't die for you to come and get ready as you want to get ready. Christ died so that you could come and that the chains of your life would be broken. You would live in the freedom of Christ Jesus and now your life would be turned completely around and you won't do the things you what? Used to do.
Amen. Amen.
But some of us are still in that vicious what?
Cycle.
Spinning our wheels where?
In the what?
Mud. Which must mean we're playing in the what?
Mud.
And God don't like for us to be dirty. I'm just being honest with you. He don't like for us to be sinfully dirty. He don't like the stains on our lives. God don't want us to be blemished folks. God wants us to be in the perfection of his spirit. We won't be perfect as people in the flesh, but we'll be perfected in our spirit man. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, God expects us to know what his perfect will is and to live out our lives here on earth, serving and worshiping him. Praise God. Not that we won't have fun with one another. Not that we can't laugh and joke. Not that we can't do things. But at the end of the day, it's all about our spirit man living according to God's will for our lives. And so he says something right here. He says, why do you call me master? That's what Lord means. Lord means master over everything. Why do you call me master, master, and do not do the things in which I say for you to what?
Do.
How hard is it for you to love your neighbor? And who is that neighbor? Not the person that's sharing the next cabin with you, or the cabin beside you, or the person that's staying in the apartment or the house next beside you. It's the man and woman that you come across each and every day of your life. It doesn't matter their color. Doesn't matter where they came from. Don't matter whether they're rich, whether they're poor. It does not matter. Christ just wants us to love our what?
Neighbor.
Love your neighbor as you what?
Love thyself.
Isn't that interesting? What does it cost you and I to say hello to somebody in the course of our day? What does it cost to smile at someone throughout the course of our what?
Day.
What does it cost for us to give somebody a godly and lovely hug throughout the course of our what?
Day.
Matter of fact, it felt so good when Kevin said, at this time, everybody stand up and go hug somebody. And we all freely and willingly did what?
Hug one another.
That's what God expects of the children of God, that we will operate as Christ operated for us. Reciprocate unto others as God has given to us. And he says this thing right here. He says, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show him who he is what?
Like.
If you hear, now I like this part right here. He says, if you hear me and come to me, I'll show you who he's like. And so he gives his description of a builder. But if you look at it in context, really, who is he truly like? Christ. Because God has made us in his image and in his what?
Likeness.
I'll show you who he's like. He's like me. That's what Christ is really saying. Whoever comes to me, just as you are, and hears my word. And actually James takes it a step further in chapter 1. And he says, and does it. I'll show you who he's like. And so he starts to talk about this building, this man building his house. And dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Let me ask you all, how many of y'all lives are being shaken today?
Amen.
How many of our lives are being shaken today? How many of us feel the storms of life vehemently beating against us? And our lives are shaking today. How many of us feel the pressures of the economy or the ailings of your bodies or the broken relationships of your families and your friends? How many of us are going through something in life and you feel like you're being shaken today? As though you're not going to stand. As though you're not going to see tomorrow. Scripture says, he says, for suffering comes, suffering endures for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. How many of y'all are in your nighttime right now? Let's just be honest about it. If you're in your nighttime right now, I'm not talking outside. I'm talking about you're in the midst of something that is really shaking your life. How many of y'all are in your lifetime? I mean your nighttime right now. Something that's causing you to question how you're going to make it out of this situation, this storm. I was telling my wife and I was sharing with some people the other day, we were confronted with an issue and I began to take a shower at home. And while I was in the shower, I said, Lord, I believe. Just that simple. I believe God. I believe you at your word. It doesn't matter what my present condition looked like or what it is that I'm going through. I just simply believe. It doesn't matter because there's nothing greater than who you are in this earth. That's why I call you Lord, because you're master over everything. Every knee shall what? Bow. And every tongue shall confess. Kevin said it's just a name. Whatever it is that you're going through, it's just a what? Name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is who? Lord. It means that they will submit themselves to who he is. Master. So whatever it is that's named in your life that's shaking your life right now, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and he'll bring it down. And he'll bring you to a place of peace and rest in the midst of your what? Storm. No matter how vehemently it is beating against your life, no matter how bad it may seem, no matter if it does not seem like joy is going to come in the morning, guess what? God says, if you come to me and hear me and do what I say, you shall stand. Amen. But if you don't, wow. If you're not listening, if you're not changing your life, if you're not holding on to God's promises, he says, when the storm comes, it will shake you and cause you to fall. And then he says, how great a fall that shall be. He didn't say you can't recover, but he did say how great a loss that will be. When we look at, and I'm going to close in a few minutes, but when we look at the storms that has ravaged the United States over the last couple of weeks, the houses that have been flooded. Look at the devastation. Homes that won't be recovered. Heirlooms, family trinkets, things that were very valuable are now lost forever. How great. You can never recover those pictures. You can never recover grandma's or granddad's watch or jewelry. You can never recover the things in which has been passed down from generation to generation because the flood came in and wiped it completely. What? How great is that loss? may not have a monetary value to where someone else would have purchased it at some great level, but it does have sentimental value, things that are near and dear to the heart, things that you were looking to give to somebody else as you pass from generation to generation. But that things cannot be passed on. They're lost because the storm has come through and then what?
Wiped out their lives.
But there's something that all of us have that we can pass on to our children and to our children's children, and that's an inheritance in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
A foundation. Something that when they go through the storms of life, the rivers won't come in and wipe them completely out. Have any of y'all been wiped out lately? Where the storms have just come in and just ravished everything.
Amen.
To where like you feel like you're not making it. Have anybody been in that position lately? And if you have, don't be embarrassed about it. Because I'm going to tell you something, we all go through that. I've seen bankruptcy. I've been through it. I've been through foreclosure. I've been through that, and I share this, and some of you all already know this, especially my church. I've been where I am a deputy sheriff, and I have the deputy sheriff from the county in which I live in knocking at my door, putting warrants and debt on my door. I've been there. I've been there when they've come and repossessed my car before. I've been there. I know what it's like to feel like every turn, every position, everywhere you look, it seems like you're drowning and there's nobody out there to throw a life preserve for you. Nobody hearing your cry. You don't know what tomorrow looks like. I've been there. And I'm not ashamed of it. Because the one thing I had to hold on to that never changed, the one thing that kept me solid and sanctified and standing was the word of God. It did. Y'all, it kept me at peace and at rest. There were times, I gotta be honest with y'all, there were times I thought about suicide. I did. Because I didn't know how I was gonna get out of this. I was sheerly embarrassed. My wife didn't know about it. This is before we had kids. Praise God I didn't do something crazy like that. Because my son back there talking about, yeah, praise God, man. But I was at a place, you all, where I was embarrassed. I looked through my, can you imagine, just for a second, can you imagine the people in your neighborhood, they all know you're a deputy sheriff, and you're staring through the window of your house with the sheer curtains pulled, not the full curtains, but the sheer ones, the lining, and you see the deputy at your door just knocking, pinning warrants to your dad, your door. And your neighbors know what it's all about. You know how embarrassing that is? How you don't want to come out of the house. You don't want to face. And it wasn't one or two knocks. It wasn't one or two times. It was three or four times. And I'll never forget. I'm going to say this to you all because this is vital important. I'll never forget because everybody knew me as Smooth Todd. The name on my license plate was Silky T. Smooth Todd. And everybody knew me for all the cars I used to drive. I was a car fanatic. And they were taking my cars. And one day I showed up at work in this 1989, what was it? Camry? The paint was missing. The engine wasn't running smoothly. And it was a whole lot of my coworkers outside. They used to talk about me all the time. Man, you got the nicest car. How do you get so many nice cars? Because I was living foolishly. I was living beyond my means. I was trying to impress people, be something that I was not. And I came pulling up that one. It was a sunshiny day. Everybody got off work. I was like, why is everybody outside when I'm coming here? Lord, why can't it be raining and everybody went into their cars? But no, they're all outside having a cookout in the parking lot, right where I'm pulling up. I couldn't tip the windows dark enough. Pulled up in that car, and I got out, and I'll never forget the expression on one of my coworkers' face. She said, and she says, where is your car? I say, this is it. This is all I can afford right now. But I have for so long been masking pain and hurt. But God kept me. God brought me out of that situation. He was able to take the mask off. I didn't feel like I had to impress anybody anymore. For a long time, my head was down. My head finally came up. I was able to stand. Because if nothing else I had in my life, I had the word of God. Even though I wanted to quit on life, I still held on to the word of God. And everything I ever lost, God replenished.
Amen.
He did. Amen. And he replenished it to a point of where I was able to stand and to handle it.
Amen.
God put me right back on my feet. And I'm telling you this morning, no matter where you are in your life, stand.
Amen.
God will bring you right on through the storms. He'll heal your body. He'll replenish your finances. He'll make the broken places whole again. God will fix you right back up again.
Amen.
And no matter how long you're in that storm, he says this over in 1 Peter. He says, humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due season, he shall what? Exalt you.
Amen.
Not making you better than anybody else, but raising you up out of whatever it is that you're in. And he'll put you on your feet. This is what he actually says in it all. I'm done right here. Because Christ died for us. He died not only that we would be in the right relationship with our Father, but he died that you and I would stand in power and authority of his name. And so this is what he says in 1 Peter 5. I'm gonna shut it down. But dysfunctional Christianity, us acting outside of the norm, God doesn't want us living in dysfunction anymore. God wants us to be functional. He wants us to operate in the norms of who he is. And so 1 Peter 5 says this, and y'all know this, but it's just a simple reminder that if you're in a place in your life to where you're in a struggle and you're not standing, he says this. Verse 6, 1 Peter 5, 6, he says, therefore, humble yourselves. How many of us are humble this morning?
Amen.
Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in what? Due time. Is it in your time?
Nope.
No. But in what? Due time. In the time in which you're ready to come out, God says, I'm going to bring you out. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time. And some of y'all scripture says, in due season, he'll exalt you up. Casting all your what? Cares. Any of y'all got any cares this morning?
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
Now, I taught this one time before. My church knows this, and I may have said this down here before. But listen to what he said. Listen to what Peter said. Anybody know what Peter's profession was? He was by trade, he was a what? Fisher. And so he uses a term that's fishing. He says what? Cast. And so when you cast the net, your expectation is to what? Bring in some what? Fish. So Peter says this, cast all your what? Cares. On who? Christ. In other words, draw who? Christ into your cares. Isn't that interesting? And my church knows this, I've talked about this a lot of times. But for you all who may not have heard this, he's saying, cast all your cares. It's like taking a net and throwing it wide, let it hit, and drag everything it catches right back into you. So he's saying now, cast your cares on who? Christ. And do what? Drag him into your situation. That's what Peter is actually talking about right here. Bring Christ in the middle of what you're going through. Cast your cares on him, for he what? Cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Why would Peter say that? Because a lot of us like to drink our what? We like to numb our pain, don't we? Somehow, some way, some shape, some fashion, somewhat. We like to numb. And I'm going to tell you something. They drank back then. But he says, be what? Sober. He says, be sober and be what? Vigilant. Be watchful. Because the devil is still what? Operating. And if you're not careful, he'll take you from one level down to the next. The devil will get you so deep down that you'll never see your way out. Because you're not being vigilant about what he's doing. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered what? Come on, y'all. After you have suffered what? So that means your suffering will be different than her suffering. And your suffering will be different from her suffering. And your suffering will be different from their suffering. And everybody's suffering is different. There's no set time for your suffering that you're going to go through.
Amen.
Each person's suffering will be according to their time, because God is trying to work some things out of you.
Amen.
He's trying to bring those things, that the chains that keeps us in bondage, he wants to break those things out of us. And so if you're wondering why you're going through longer than what somebody else is going through, because you got something in you that God's trying to get out of you. That's all. And at the perfect time, the time that you're due, you know how bills due? Pay on this particular part of the month. At the time in which you are due, God will bring you right on out. He says this. He says, who calls, after you have suffered a while, he will perfect you. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. And then he will settle you. Because I don't know about you all, what I'm going through, I am all over the place. And everybody knows it. My wife knows it. My kids know it. My neighbors know it. My church know it. Everybody will know when I'm not settled. Matter of fact, you know when you're not what?
Settle.
Fussing at everybody. You're mad at everybody. You want to smack everybody. You want to run everybody off the road. You want to give everybody a piece of your mind. What little mind we all have left. And so with that being the case, Christ says, after a time, I will settle you. Y'all know what my favorite thing is? It's the what? Snow globe. When you're shaking it up, all the particles are all over the place. It's not what? Settle. But the minute you set it down, all the particles start to do what? Settle. And God just wants to put you in a place where he establishes you, so that everything in your life that's going wild and crazy will start to do what?
Settle.
Why call me Lord if you're not going to do the things in which I say to what? Do. Come on, let's give the Lord some praises. So I'm going to ask this question as we stand to our feet. I usually turn over to Kevin this morning, but I don't turn over to Mike. I know y'all are stiff and cold and all those good things, but you still have the blood running warm in your veins. Still have the breath of life in your lungs. Still have the functionality of your limbs, and you are in your right mind. Who in here this morning needs prayer because they need to be settled down? If you need prayer this morning, come on up front. Let's just pray. Come on up in front with me, and we're going to pray. If you need prayer this morning, and don't be ashamed about it, because nobody has a heaven or hell to put you in. Don't let nobody judge you over what you're going through. If you need prayer this morning and you want God to settle some things down in your life, come on up front. Let's just pray. Whatever it is, heal me of the things that are breaking my life. Whatever it is, God just wants to touch each and every last one of us. He does. Before I pray, is there anybody else? And in fact, before I do this prayer about God selling us, is there anybody in here who don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior? Or if you do know him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you are in a backslidden state, and you want to rededicate your life, just raise your hand. Everybody knows him as their personal Lord and Savior. Everybody's in the right relationship with the Lord. Now listen, you can tell me this and I'm all right. But God knows all of our what?
Hearts.
And so harden not your heart and allow the word of God to be implanted in those very places. Again, that he may break up the fallow grounds and the implanted word may grow within you. Is there anybody else who want to rededicate their life, give their life for the first time, or who may need prayer? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, as we come before you, Heavenly Father, as humble as we know how, Lord, we lift up before you this day the very things that are ailing our hearts, the very broken places in who we are, Lord, the things that are troubling us in our spirit, God, the things that are keeping us, Heavenly Father, that appears to be bouncing off the walls of life. We present those things to you this morning. You said if we humbled ourselves before you, Lord, and cast all our cares on you, you would exalt us in due season. You would bring us up out of the very, Heavenly Father, the bondages, the chains, Heavenly Father, the broken places, Heavenly Father, the hurtful things, God. You would bring us up out of the things that seem to keep us destroyed and going in circles. We submit them to you this day. We pray right now, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, you would grant us a fresh anointing from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, that your Spirit, Heavenly Father, will fill us, God, this day, that we may hear your voice, that we may move according to your will, that we, Heavenly Father, may be fresh in who we are as people. Some of us have gone through for so long, God, we don't even know how to lift our heads anymore. We're ashamed about our very places in life, God. We don't know, Heavenly Father, where we are. But God, you are a GPS beyond GPSs, God. You know how to locate us right where we are. And I'm asking right now with these men and women who are standing before me, God, that you touch each one in their places. Whatever it is, Lord, that you make them whole again, that you set them free, God, that you cause them to stand upright, God, and to leave this place, Heavenly Father, feeling as though they're victorious and knowing that they are overcomers because you said you have overcome the world. Lord, we thank you for all that you do each and every day, for watching over us in our foolishness, Heavenly Father, and giving us brand new mercies. We say thank you. And so, God, we lift up our hearts before you right now. We adore you, Heavenly Father, in our praise and worship. We just honor you in our lives. And we're asking, God, whatever things are not right, that you make right in you. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And just tell the Lord you believe. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Excuse my cold hands. Amen. I got a warm heart. Amen. I'm going to turn this back over to my brother Kevin. Amen. Praise God for you all this morning. Listen, don't be in dysfunction. Stand in the wholeness of Christ Jesus and let God work. Was it me or did we just get warm in here? Amen.
You know, when Pastor Todd hears a song, I'm sure he thinks of a message that might hit him upside the head. But likewise, when I hear a message, there's a song that hits me upside the head. So I hope this is not in your hymn books, but sing along with me. It simply talks about the storms of life raging against us and God standing by us. So if you know the words, it's "Stand By Me." When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I do the best I can,
yes,
and my friends misunderstand, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me, stand by me. Amen. I hope you enjoyed the message from that today. We're going to do, I know we've kept you.